The word today is flood. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. One of the most important historical accounts in the Bible is that of the worldwide flood. Many dismiss it as a myth, but science has proven that there was a flood that covered the entire world. Just as we can trust the account of the flood, we can trust the gospel that Jesus, God's Son, came to earth to redeem us from our sin. Here now to discuss this further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Flood.
Perhaps nothing in the Bible is more contested and challenged by unbelievers than the flood. The only other thing that might be as heavily debated is the creation itself, whether God made this world, but these two seem to go hand in hand. If there is a creator, then he would have the power, the capacity to not just make humanity, but also to destroy humanity as described in the flood in Genesis chapter 6. We're living in an amazing time, and I am very, very pleased by how things are going scientifically in terms of the discovery of new sciences and what they're coming up with, because in my opinion, these are now confirming Christian faith, a conservative biblical faith, whereas it couldn't be demonstrated in a lab or that we couldn't delve into the earth in order to prove things like the flood in the past. Now we can. And I'd like to share a little bit of this with you over the next several minutes. We're going to focus on the Bible as we always do, and in Genesis chapter 6, the theme verses for today, for the word today, is verse 7. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What we have happening here is an account of the earth going bad, like a piece of fruit that just rots. Humanity had gone from bad to worse. We see that progression starting in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan effectively poisons humanity through temptation and sin, disobedience to God. And then it spreads. It spreads into Adam and Eve's relationship, into their children's lives. And then from there on out, all the rest of the world, including the created order. Well, as a consequence of this, things go bad very rapidly. We don't have the actual time frame, but we know that sin spreads and spreads rapidly. And soon you have the whole world, all of humanity is corrupted by sin. The account of the flood then is like it's been taken to another level. And you're like, well, is humanity that bad that God would have to wipe them all out? There's an interesting piece of information. Truth of the matter is it's called a dark passage. By that, I don't mean dark as in evil. I mean dark as in there's just not a lot of light of understanding. It's like looking into a dimly lit room and you can't really understand a lot of what's in the room because there's just not enough light. In the same way, there's a passage in Genesis chapter 6 that's a dark passage about what are called the Nephilim. The word Nephilim comes from the Hebrew word that means to fall. So these are plural, the fallen ones. And who are they? Well, in Genesis 6 verse 4, it says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of great renown. And that sets up the discussion of God's displeasure with humanity to the point that he's just going to destroy them. Now, one of the traditional interpretations of this, now remember, it's a dark passage. We don't have absolute understanding on it. But one of the interpretations is that these sons of God were angels. From the scriptures, we see consistently that angels are male. I don't know of any evidence anywhere in the scriptures, whether in the original languages or in the English, that suggests that angels are anything other than male. They're called the sons of God. And they go to the earth women and have sex and create hybrids. Now, admittedly, this seems, whoa, you know, when if this is the first time you've ever heard this, you're probably like, what? This is as strange as talking about aliens in outer space and all. I don't believe there's any physical evidence, by the way. I think there's ample evidence that aliens in the universe don't exist, and I have good scientific reasons for that. But we can't talk about that now. What we have to talk about are these Nephilim. You know, could this have been angels and humans creating hybrid humans? You know what? The text is telling us that God got so ticked off at humanity and that the inclinations of humans' hearts were evil only all the time. Well, that includes arrogance and pride, presumptuousness, aside from all the immorality and deviancy. So I believe that this could be so. It's a dark passage. I don't have absolute fact. No one here on earth will have the absolute answer until we get to heaven and find out. Anyways, moving on from that. So humanity is going to be destroyed. God decides to do it through a flood. Is this myth or fact? Is this a story? A lot of critics and a lot of skeptics, a lot of people who want to downplay the Bible and devalue it and make it not have as much cultural power over people's lives, evolutionists, Darwinists, they all tried to suggest that the flood was local. Maybe it was only in the Mediterranean area. Maybe it was the Black Sea and things like this. Well, guess what? Now we know that is absolutely wrong. And how can I say that? How can we say we know that the flood actually happened, that it actually covered the continents? Because we have the science now. We now have the data from the oil companies that drilled thousands of holes into the earth, down thousands of feet, through all of these layers of water-deposited sedimentary rock. Listen to me closely. There are on all of the continents layers of thousands of foot thick sedimentary rocks. There's pockets of salt. There's layers of sand. There are mixed media, mixed component of rock and sand, and there's clay and all of these things, different particles of different sizes that were deposited by water. Sedimentary rock is carried by water, and we have this phenomenal amounts. We're talking covering tens of thousands of square miles, tens of thousands of square kilometers on the continents, thousands of feet thick. The Grand Canyon in the United States is an example of this. And we now know how this stuff was deposited by water. It had to have been a global flood. You know, the Darwinists, the skeptics, are trying to suggest that there was a meteor that came and hit, a mile-wide meteor hit, and it sent the wave. You know, it's nonsense. All of the world shows six different sequences, events of deposits of this sedimentary material. I would refer you to a book called Carved in Stone by Dr. Tim Clary, and he has an entire book dedicated like a science textbook to the Great Flood. Well, why did it all happen? Let's get to the spiritual point of this. By the way, one of the spiritual points is that you will put your trust in what the Bible says. The Bible's not story time. The Bible is not fictitious. The Bible is an account designed to draw you to faith in God and trust in God, because your salvation depends on it. What happens after you die depends on what you believe about the flood and therefore what you believe about the Savior Jesus Christ. If you write off the flood and write off the accounts in Genesis, then there's no real basis to believe in Jesus Christ. then if God didn't make this, and if he didn't condemn it in the flood, then did he send a Savior? Did he save us from sin? You see why it's so important that you have a basis for believing historically, scientifically, the account of the flood. And now that we can demonstrate that the flood happened, well, what about the rest? You better start thinking that the rest is solid too. Yes, the God that could make this world, the God that did condemn this world with the flood, he did send his son. And we have the archaeological evidence over in Israel, tons of archaeological evidence of the life of Jesus, the spread of the Christian faith. It's just so fantastic. Your faith is resting on a really, really solid foundation. But there's people that want to destroy it. There's the ungodly, the people that want to minimalize and marginalize the Bible. They don't want to abide by the morality. Where is the world going? It's going to be destroyed again. It's going to be human wickedness. Jesus said the love of most will grow cold. He used the analogy of the flood and the ill-preparedness of the people. They didn't see it coming. They didn't know, even though Noah was building an ark for the better part of 100 years. But they denied it, and they were wiped out in the end. That's exactly how it's going to end. How is it going to end the second time? With water? No, God gave the rainbow. The rainbow's been manipulated and misused as a symbol in contemporary society, but it's a reminder of the flood. How is it going to end the second time? Fire. 1 Peter, I believe it is, where he talks about the elements will melt in the heat. God's going to scour the world, fry it, and could he use the sun? Sure, of course. Let's return to the gospel. How do you be prepared? You receive the word of God that talks about the flood and about his son, Jesus Christ. This is your escape. This is your salvation. You need to put your trust in the word of God above that of man and contemporary thought. The gospel was given for you to believe in this fantastic God who can create, condemn, but also through our Lord Jesus Christ, save this world. Put your trust and hope in God.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.